morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, Megan and I do apologize very much for being a wee late this morning. We did not intend that. We got out a little later than usual. And if I knew we were going to be here later than 10, I would have called someone to let them know that, yes, we will be here. But I thought we'd get here just on time. It didn't work out that way. So our sincere apologies for that. But you know, something good did come out of that. When we got out of the car, I heard something that I don't get to hear very often. And it's really neat. Because usually, we kind of look at this congregation and think, well, we're a lot smaller. You know, and this is a smaller congregation, we'll be honest about that. But when we, as soon as we got out of the car, I could hear y'all singing from the car. And there was a part of me that, I just wanted to stand there and just bask in the ability to listen to the saints singing from outside the building, just to hear it resonate. But of course, there was that part of me that said, I want to go in and be part of that. excuse me. So that was really neat. And I figured I would share that with y'all. And thirdly, if I could, after the lesson is up, if I could see the men in the congregation, don't worry, everything's okay. I know the last time I said that, all the ladies were like, what is wrong? What's going on? Everything's fine. Just have a question or two. And that way as well, there is a bonus here, ladies. That way, when you go downstairs to prepare, we're not in your hair. So all that being said, one of the first lessons that I taught when I came here, dealt with where do we start with people when we're trying to teach them the Bible? We're trying to teach them about Jesus. Where exactly do we start? And the conclusion of that lesson is basically we start wherever they're at. You know, we can't start where we think they are. We need to understand where they're at, and we need to take it from that angle. If that means learning things that they're interested in and things they know about or think they know about, so to speak, we learn it so that we can approach it on their level, exactly where they are. But once we've done that, once we've got someone to the point where they do want to listen to what the Bible has to say, or at least they say they want to listen to what the Bible has to say, where should we go? And I know you're thinking, man, Anthony, this is a whole year for you to do a follow-up lesson on this. Well, it's not really intended as a follow-up lesson, but I did think about that I'd given that lesson some time ago. Well, I'd say we need to take them to Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. Talked about Jesus this morning, and the song we just sung, There's Not a Friend Like Jesus, that's where we need to take them, is to Jesus. Turn to John chapter 10. Jesus is going to give an illustration here in John chapter 10. Not necessarily a parable, very similar to a parable, but we're going to look at this illustration. We're going to get this illustration in our minds. It's a very important illustration. Very important when trying to teach people about Jesus. And important for ourselves as well, those of us who understand and already know about Jesus, to keep in mind. John chapter 10, we'll begin in verse 1. Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter, that is the gatekeeper, openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, at first sight, sometimes it's hard to figure out what Jesus is talking about when he speaks in figures. And as a matter of fact, in verse 6, it says that they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. But before we get into verse 7 and following, where Jesus is going to explain how this applies, first, let's get this image in our head. Let's really make it live for us. Okay? Now, to the people that Jesus was talking to, they would have understood everything immediately. They're very familiar with shepherds and gatekeepers, and very much a big part of their culture and their economic system and things like that. Not so much for us. We can read it. We can go so far on it. But you see, the way that they worked was the shepherd, obviously, he led the sheep. That's kind of self-evident, I think. But at night, so he could get himself some sleep, he would go and he would take them to where the holding pen, so to speak. The holding pen didn't have anything over top of it. It was just a fenced-in area that, as Jesus said, the robbers could hop the fence. But the gatekeeper was there. It was someone who was hired specifically at night to stay there, watch over the sheep, and the only person that he would let in to get those sheep back out was a shepherd. Jesus says that the shepherd is the only one that's left in, but even so, there were robbers and thieves that would jump the gate. Since the gatekeeper wouldn't let him in, the only way they could get to those sheep was to hop in. Hopefully the gatekeeper didn't see him, and they can, you know, steal the sheep or whatever they're trying to do with the sheep. They can do that. But he says that when the sheep follow, they hear his voice and they follow him. And they won't follow anyone else's voice. And this is something that's interesting. I've never seen it. I've read about it. It would be, I think, an amazing sight to see. The way it works over there, and still to this day, over in what we commonly call Bible lands, you will have 30, 40, 50 shepherds all together, just kind of discussing things and in a group there and just kind of hanging out for part of the day. And you may have hundreds or thousands of sheep around them. And it looks like total and utter chaos. And you're thinking, they're going to walk away and those sheep are just going to be so confused. And yet what happens? The sheep that belong to each individual shepherd, they know that man's voice. And generally what will happen is the shepherd will have a specific call that he will use. It would maybe sound kind of silly to us, but the sheep are used to it and the tone of his voice, and they know his voice. And I've read that what happens is those shepherds start to each go their own individual way. And what was this massive group of just chaos and all these sheep, all of a sudden, the sheep get in line, they file out, and they follow their shepherd. You know, as an outside observer, someone not familiar with that, you probably wouldn't expect that to happen. But that's the way the sheep know who to follow. And they hear someone else's voice, and they don't follow that voice. So this is the image that Jesus has set up for us. We have the enclosure where the sheep are kept. And we have a gatekeeper who will only let the shepherd in. We have robbers who will try and jump the fence to get to the sheep. But those sheep, if they're truly following the shepherd, they're only going to follow the voice of the proper shepherd.
That's true. Amen.
Now, with all that in mind, let's see how Jesus makes application. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So the first thing Jesus says is he says, when you think about this illustration I've given to you, think about me as the door. The gatekeeper is there. He's making sure no one but the shepherd can get in. He says, I am the door. The robbers can't get in. But what does he say? He says, if any man enters, he shall be saved. Well, that's kind of interesting. And the reason I come here to John 10 when I say we need to go to Jesus to show people what the Bible says about following Jesus, is there something that people often say that that contradicts what Jesus says? When they talk about Jesus, they say Jesus said something else. When we go here, I'll tell you what I mean. Have you ever heard, well, you look around and you see all these different religious faiths that all claim Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll have for example, the Church of Christ, and you have maybe the Church of God of Prophecy, or Methodists, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or so on and so on. All these different faith systems that some way or another claim that they're following Jesus. And it's been said, very common, many of you have probably heard it, well, they're all following Jesus. They're all truly following Jesus. And now, heaven is the goal, but there's just many different roads. There's many paths to heaven. But think about what Jesus just said in this illustration here. He says there's one gate, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, if we were to word the "there are many paths to one place" in order of this illustration, that would be like saying there are many gates into where the sheep are. But Jesus says there's one gate. If there's one gate, there's only one way. And that's through the gate. But you remember, Jesus said He is the gate. That means the only way to be saved is through Jesus.
Amen.
To follow Jesus. We keep that in mind and we see the next thing He says. And now, different than most of the parables here, He's going to shift it. And usually in the parables, we see that only the one thing in the parable will consistently represent Jesus. But in this illustration, He's going to shift it, and something else here also represents Jesus. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." First, Jesus says, "I am the gate." You want to be part of the sheepfold? You want to be one of the sheep who follows me? You've got to go through the one gate. You've got to figure out what is the way of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But then He says, secondly, He says, "I am the shepherd." That means if you are a true sheep of the Lord, you hear His voice and you follow Jesus. But someone says, "Jesus has never talked to me." Well, that's what we have the Bible for.
Amen.
We go here. And if we want to know where that gate is located, we want to know where salvation is, how to obtain salvation, how to be faithful to the Lord, we listen to the Lord. The only way to begin becoming part of the fold is to begin listening to the shepherd. And so we turn to Jesus in the pages of the New Testament. And that's not to leave out the books in the New Testament that don't record the literal words of Jesus. We have to remember that those men that wrote Acts through Revelation, that they had authority from Jesus.
Amen.
So it's the same thing as listening to the voice of the shepherd and following Him.
Mm-hmm.
When someone has questions about Christianity, about faith, about salvation, about anything that pertains to God, someone says, "Well, what does God say about lying? What does God say about thus and such? What does God say about gambling? What does God say about marriage? What does God say about anything?" If we want to be part of the sheepfold, and we want to follow the shepherd, we listen to His voice.
Amen.
And that means going here in the Bible and listening to what Jesus has said about it, or those whom Jesus gave authority to say something about
Amen.
It. And there are some that would say, well, I don't see why to some extent. Well, it's the other thing Jesus said about being the good shepherd. He says, I'm not like a hireling. I'm not like someone who was hired by the one that owns the sheep. Someone who others would look and call a shepherd, but ultimately he's only there for the money and he's only there for himself, and as soon as trouble comes, he turns tail and he runs. No, Jesus says, I am the shepherd. I own the sheep. Why do I own the sheep? He owns the sheep because he died.
Amen.
For the sheep. Because he was willing to lay down his life at the commandment of the Father. We listen to the shepherd because he gave the greatest sacrifice that could ever be given to take care of the sheep.
Amen.
To give the sheep salvation. It's very unfortunate that many have this idea that as long as you go to some church, any church, that Jesus will accept you. But here's the thing. Jesus says there's one gate, and he's the gate. So that means that you have to do things the way Jesus said to do them.
Amen.
Jesus says, I am the shepherd. You must listen to my voice. You must follow me. And so if there are a group of people that say that they are the sheep of Jesus, but they're not doing what Jesus said to do, friends, they're not
Amen.
The sheep of Jesus. It's a very simple thing to see what the Bible has to say about it. It's a very simple thing to see what Jesus has to say about it.
Amen.
And yet, unfortunately, so many people ignore this plain fact.
Amen.
Because oftentimes they want to do whatever they want to do. They want to be their own shepherd. Jesus says, I am the shepherd. Or they want some man with some creed book to be their shepherd. But Jesus says, I am the shepherd.
Amen.
Several years ago, I was visiting, and I don't remember what specific faith system it was. I know they claim to follow Jesus, but I was in their building and sitting in the pew. And in front of me, on the pew, and they didn't have songbooks because they had a choir, but there was a Bible, and then next to it was their creed book. And at the time, I knew a lot of what the Bible did say, but I really couldn't find a lot of, you know, I couldn't show you where to find it. But the few things I did know, I was curious. So as I was sitting there, I opened up the Bible, and I opened up their creed book, and I started comparing. And they had the true Word of God right there next to their creed book. And their creed book contradicted the things that Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, unfortunately, I'm sure to this day, there are many people that still go to that building. And they're convinced that they're following Jesus. But if they would just take the time to compare the book that men wrote with the book that God wrote, they would very clearly see they're not following the shepherd's voice.
True. Amen.
It's not hard when you know where to find Jesus' voice to see what he has to say about something. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Because some will say, well, Anthony, and rightfully so, that's an illustration, and it may be, you know, easy for someone to misuse that or misinterpret that. Okay, fair enough. We're going to go here, John chapter 14, and we're going to take the whole concept there from John chapter 10. And here Jesus explicitly states this. We'll begin in verse 1, however. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or that is, many dwelling places.
Mm-hmm.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He's talking about the fact that he's going to die, and he's going to go up to heaven, and that he's going to give the way, and he's preparing a place. There is room for us, so to speak, in heaven. And so we can rest assured and we can be confident. But one of his disciples, a little confused, Thomas says to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
I don't know if it could be any plainer than that. I am the way. You must follow me. I am the truth. Anything else but anything that contradicts what I have said is false.
Amen.
And I am life. In Jesus, there is life. The shepherd takes care of the flock. And yet, sadly, even so, many would see that verse and they would still ignore it. And there are many reasons for that. Again, I think oftentimes people just want to do it their own way. And so I'll get to heaven. God will present me with the reward, but I've figured out the way to do it. No. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. That means Jesus figured out the way to do it, and he told us.
Yes.
And we follow. You see, sheep don't follow each other. If they do, it's not going to end well. They follow the shepherd. So, while I do care what other people have to say about life and truth, when they're telling me that what they're saying is going to lead me to heaven, and I open my Bible, and what they're saying is not what Jesus said, I don't any longer care about what they're saying.
Amen.
Because they are at that point essentially the hireling who turns and runs and only cares about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Or the thief or the robber that can get in the midst of the sheep and do damage. But if we really want to follow Jesus, we're only going to listen to what Jesus has to say.
Amen.
Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Because even Jesus told us that, guess what? There's going to be a whole lot of people that aren't going to listen. There's going to be a whole lot of people that are sincere, but are sincerely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," or that is the narrow gate, the small gate. "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Because straight, because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way, or difficult or confined is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus says that gate is small. It's narrow. The path to it is oftentimes difficult, and because of that, a large majority of people will not care to find the gate, let alone take the path to the gate and try and get through the gate, because there's going to be sacrifices.
Amen.
There's going to be things they're going to have to change. Not only the things, the physical things they do, but the way that they even think about life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go from being a non-Christian to being a Christian, you go from being the master of your own domain to being a complete and total servant in the domain of the masters.
Amen.
Jesus here says that unfortunately the truth of the matter is that come judgment day, more people than not are going to be lost.
That's truth. Amen.
They didn't want to listen to the shepherd. They didn't want to find the gate. They didn't want the way, the truth, and the life. They wanted their way, their truth, and their life. But that means losing it at the end of time.
Amen.
He continues verse 15, and he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, or ravenous wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." He says, look out. Look out, because there are going to be people that are not looking for that narrow gate. They are not traversing the difficult path, but they're going to come and they're going to tell you that they are. They're going to look like sheep. They're going to look like people that we would want to listen to. They're going to seem like people that should know what they're talking about. And yet he says, they're in disguise. But Jesus, how do we identify these kind of people? By their works, by their fruits, by the things they produce. Mm-hmm. If they teach something and we go here and Jesus says otherwise, we go with Jesus. Now, we do have to be careful, because Jesus is talking here about someone wholesale false, that's completely and totally false. You know, amongst Christians, there are often slight divergent views, and people are trying to figure things out, and I've been wrong before and changed on a few things because I didn't know certain things, or I've had misinterpreted something. That's not to say that when you're still trying to figure things out, you may have one or two things wrong or such, that you're the false prophet here Jesus is talking about. No, he's talking about someone that comes in and is completely and totally leading someone on the wrong path.
Amen.
That's a false prophet here. He says, but you can know them if you listen to what they teach. If you view the way they act, and they say, well, we can act one way, and Jesus says, no, we got to act another way. They're not bearing good fruit.
Amen.
Jesus says, that's how you identify them. That's how you know them. And yet, they're in sheep's clothing. You know, how many men have graduated from seminary school and things like that? And we would think, because they had spent all that time studying religion, that they could tell us what Jesus says. And yet, oftentimes, that's not the case.
Amen.
Because the larger, the better known, quote, Christian colleges, and I'm not saying all of them, but a whole lot of them, they don't really teach them a lot of Bible. They really don't. They teach them men's opinions and men's thoughts. And then what happens? Those people come out, and maybe they have a master's of divinity, and they can't barely teach anything about the Bible. We have to remember, man is the one who set up this idea of accreditation and colleges. There's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus or any of the disciples says that you need to do that to be a preacher, to teach people the Word.
Amen.
That's one way that people can sneak in sheep's clothing, and people are so impressed by that. Oh, he went to college. He must know what he's talking about. Friends, I don't care if you have a doctorate in theology. If you don't say and teach what Jesus says and teaches, you are not a sheep.
That's truth. Amen.
You are not following the shepherd. You are a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that sounds mean, but I can't think of any other way to put it. And I hate that it's the case. But Jesus says, hear my voice. Enter into the gate that I am. Follow the way, the truth, and the life. It's very important at the outset that we get people to understand that they're following Jesus. Not themselves, not anyone else. It is a very, very simple concept. And we have only, you know, grazed the surface. You go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, all the way through Revelation, and you've got to listen to the shepherd.
Amen.
You've got to follow him. It's no longer about you. It's not about your opinions, anything like that. It's not hard to see these things if we're willing to look and see what the Bible really says. See what the voice of Jesus, hear what the voice of Jesus truly says. And it's so sad that people won't do that because Jesus says, I give you eternal life.
Amen. That's what he
said. I have died for you. Is that not worth it enough to put aside my own pride? To put aside my own opinions? To put aside everything I've ever heard, even if it means putting aside the religion of my family?
That's truth. Amen.
Jesus gives eternal life. Not my opinions, not a creed book, not what some man has said. And if the religion of my family contradicts what Jesus says, not the religion of my family. Jesus gives eternal life.
Amen.
And that's what we stress. That's what we should put ourselves in remembrance of all the time. I said at the outset, this lesson is intended to help us know where to go in a simple fashion to show people so that they can have the right focus when we're showing them the truth, mm-hmm. when we're trying to share the Bible with them. But it's just as important for us so that we remember and remain humble and stay focused to listen to the shepherd instead of ourselves.
Amen.
To make sure we have entered the true gate and that we are staying in the proper place instead of being tossed about by spurious doctrines.
Mm-hmm.
He continues here and he says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now Jesus brought us the will of the Father. To follow the shepherd is to follow the Father. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He says, you do the will of the Father, and I know you. You are one of my sheep.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But if you don't, you can do what you think is the right thing. And you can claim Jesus. You can claim to be following Jesus. And Jesus says, come judgment. There are going to be many people before him. They sincerely thought they were right. They sincerely thought they had it. And they're going to say, Jesus, look at but look at what I've done in your name. And what does the shepherd say? I never knew you. You were never one of my sheep.
Amen.
Yeah, you did a lot of things and you claimed to be doing them in my name and you looked very religious to everyone around you. But you weren't listening to my voice.
Amen. That's it, brother.
We must listen to the voice of the shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd is the only one who can give us eternal life. He's the only one who can justify us. He's the only one who can cleanse our sins. But only if we listen to him. Only if we follow him. Only if we see what the Bible says he has said so we know how to do so properly. But if we don't listen to him, the thieves and the robbers came and took us away. If we don't listen to him, we might as well follow the hireling that turns tail and runs at the first sign of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't listen to Jesus, we don't have the truth, and we don't have eternal life.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. It is simple. I am convinced it's simple.
It is. Amen.
But unfortunately, men let themselves get in their own way. And they become convinced. that, oh yes, there is heaven and God will reward the faithful, but you can get there many different ways, even if those ways contradict one another. Jesus says, no, there's one way.
One way.
I am the truth. There's one gate. That means that in our journey here on this earth, we've got to make sure we've got the one way.
Amen.
We absolutely have to. We can't think like others do. For example, there are religious systems out there that claim Christianity that say that Jesus wasn't the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people will say, but it's okay, you can believe that and get to heaven. No. You deny that. You deny everything Jesus did.
Amen.
Everything Jesus was and is. It can't be that way. It isn't that way. Someone says, that's not fair. That's the way it is.
Amen.
And it's very simple logic. Something is either true or it's false. It can't be both at the same time.
Amen.
So if we want salvation, we listen to the shepherd. We look for the gate. We look for the way. We look for the life. We look for the truth. It's difficult to follow the path. We follow it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that's where salvation is.
Amen.
People come along that teach us things that are not what the shepherd says. We ignore them. Now, hopefully, we try and teach them otherwise.
Amen.
But as far as listening to and obeying what they've said, we ignore it. And that way, at the end of time, judgment comes, we can say to Jesus, Jesus, I listened to your voice. May not have always done everything the best I could have. And I know I stumbled, and I know I don't deserve salvation. But I know you've promised it to me if I've pushed forward towards the narrow gate on the difficult path, because I want the way, the truth, and the life. Do you want the way, the truth, and the life this morning? Do you want to follow the shepherd? Do you want to enter into the gate? Because there's only one way. There's not two. There's not five. There's not ten. But just one.
Amen.
And that's the way that Jesus gave us. The end of Matthew chapter 28, the end of Mark 16, Jesus talks about baptism, where baptism means immersion. You've got to believe in Jesus. Absolutely have to believe Jesus as the Son of God came and died for our sins. But not only that, you have to be willing to listen to the shepherd, to turn from any false thing that you may be doing, stop doing it, do what the shepherd says to do. Be willing so much so that when you're on that rough path and rough things come, that you confess Him with your life. And you continue on the path.
Amen.
And to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, the only true mode into salvation,
amen,
mirrors Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We go into the water. We are putting to death the old person who didn't care to listen to the shepherd.
Amen.
And when we come out of that water, we're a new person spiritually. We are a person that desires to follow the shepherd. We are a person that has our sins washed away so that we can finally be part of the sheepfold. However, it doesn't stop there. We've got to continue keeping on. We've got to continue listening to the shepherd's voice. And we've got to be faithful until the day that we die.
Amen.
That's how we become part of the fold. That's how we become a Christian. That's how we obtain salvation. Have you done that? Are you already part of the fold? Did you follow the hirelings? Did you follow the thieves or the robbers that came in? You stopped following the voice of the shepherd? Well, you can come back. You can have your salvation again, but only if you turn away from the things that you did that Jesus says you can't do.
Amen.
Jesus loves each and every one of us, and He wants all of us to be one of His sheep.
Mm-hmm.
But we must follow the one way, which is given by His voice and His voice alone. So if you've not begun to follow the shepherd this morning, or if you have and you've stumbled, and you want to come back to the fold and again have that salvation that Jesus so lovingly gave us when He died for us, would you come forward as we stand and sing?